Members of Congress now have President Bush's detailed budget proposal for the next fiscal year. The president is asking for nearly $2 trillion in spending. That's more than 5.5% higher than the budget for the current fiscal year. President Bush said yesterday that his budget is aimed at reducing the pork that Washington's known for.
This budget funds our needs without the fat. It also represents a new way of doing business in Washington and a new way of thinking. Budget puts the taxpayers first, and that's exactly where they belong.
The president released his budget for fiscal year 2002 as Congress begins a two-week recess. Joining me now to discuss the budget proposal are two members of the House. Congressman John Spratt of South Carolina is the ranking Democrat on the House Budget Committee, and Congressman Roy Blunt is a Missouri Republican and Chief Deputy Majority Whip in the House. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Bob.
Good morning. Good to be with you, Bob.
Well, we've already had a lot of partisan squabbling. Where is the bipartisan consensus building here?
Well, maybe that'll happen in the conference committee as we look at the budget now. But we're going to continue to see some, I guess you could call it squabbling on this budget, because there are some folks that would rather spend this money as send it back to the taxpayers, who many of us feel are paying too much, and a lot of people just don't think twice the rate of inflation is enough growth for the federal government.
Well, Bob, what happened last week in the Senate makes this budget itself already out of date. The president's budget is really a February budget, and the detail is coming to us now, but the Senate looked at the education account and decided that they would have more for education and a little bit less for the tax cut, and added $300 billion over 10 years for education. They also made other adjustments, such as in the Medicare prescription drug request. The president put up $153 billion in a request for that. Both houses, leaders in both houses and both parties, said this was not nearly enough to pay for a prescription drug benefit. The Senate had a vote on it, and they added another $150 billion to it. So there are two significant changes made in the Senate, which means that the president's budget is already out of date and will have to be reworked.
You know, Bob, I think what my friend John's pointing out here, too, though, is the president's education budget increased our spending by 11.5%, and in the Senate, they wanted to add $300 billion more dollars to that. It's just so much easier in Washington for us to add spending than it is to reduce taxes, or even, as John Spratt has advocated, in a way that a lot of us conservatives think would make sense if you could do it without a prepayment penalty, just pay off debt. But we can spend money better than we can do either of those two things, and certainly that's a great example of how easy it is to spend those dollars. The other thing you hear on the taxes, you always hear, well, this really, you've got opportunity lost, and you've got interest costs we'll be paying that we wouldn't be paying if we were paying this down on the debt. Amazingly, you never hear that argument when it's new spending. There's no discussion of how much more this actually costs than maybe the money that appears to be on the table today.
Congressman Spratt, the economy seems to be slowing down. Isn't that an argument for some federal spending, lowering taxes?
Well, I think so. You want to have the right kind of tax reduction in order to stimulate the economy, and to me that means putting as much as possible of the tax cut as soon as possible in the hands of middle-income taxpayers who are likely to spend it. In the House, when we brought our budget resolution to the floor, we said we know there's going to be a budget surplus this year. We can see it. It's almost in the bank. It's not like taking the risk of these projections 10 years out, so let's go ahead and declare a liquidating dividend for this fiscal year, and before September 30th, let's give the taxpayers $65 billion. That didn't pass in the House, but an amendment was added to the Senate budget resolution, which increased that fiscal year 2001 rebate to the American taxpayer to $85 billion. That's one way to give the economy a kick. There is another concern, though, Bob, and that is we are sort of lulled into some kind of euphoria as you look at these huge surpluses, $5.6 billion that are projected over a period of 10 years. If our economy is slowing down, and if we're seeing it in some kind of significant slowdown, then those, that $5.6 trillion estimate of the surplus is probably not accurate, and we may be cutting close to the edge again and risking going back into the kind of deficit hole that we just came out of, at least with respect to having to invade the Social Security and Medicare trust accounts. And we want to be very careful not to do that. If we do that, it could have an adverse impact on the bond market. It could send interest rates back up again.
Congressman Blunt, you represent a predominantly rural district. How will you explain to your constituents the president's planned cuts for farm subsidies?
Well, you know, the farm program, the president leaves a large contingency in this budget, and as we mentioned in the House, specifically with the understanding that that money's there for defense, for agriculture, and in our House budget, we added prescription drugs as a way to be sure that we had enough money to meet that that important need. But you know, the interesting thing we're going to see in this debate, we'll continue to see, is that the debate about the concerns of whether or not this anticipated surplus will be there never seems to be as the same debate when you're talking about spending as when you're talking about giving people their money back. And we spend routinely, we increase spending. We seem to only be able to cut taxes once every couple of decades. This is a time to do that. I think getting people their money back is the best thing to do for the economy. I also believe that the final tax cut will be more front-loaded, and maybe you can even include something like a capital gains reduction that really would have immediate economic impact in addition to accelerating this money that that people get back without having really changing the long-term phasing in. There is a way to do that. We do have money on the table right now in Washington, as John said, that is money that is either already there or we can clearly see is coming. And the best thing we can do for that money is to get that money back.
But Roy, Bob's got a point. The budget the president sent up has no provision for the farm program other than sort of status quo.
But if John, I think there didn't there's that huge contingency though that,
that's true. But there's a contingency by our calculation of $20 billion next year, for example. Out of that contingency has to come defense and agriculture, because like agriculture, there's a missing piece in the president's budget. We still don't have what his proposal for defense is. If you look in the budget for the year 2002, you'll see a number. Beyond that, you'll see blank spaces. It's yet to be filled in. There's a bottom line number, but it's obviously not the ultimate number. We're still waiting on Rumsfeld to tell us what he wants for defense, which is the biggest account in the budget. By our calculation, there's an available surplus when you back out Social Security and Medicare of $106 billion next year. When you take out the tax cut that's being proposed and add some of the present spending increases, you've got $20 billion left over. And what has to come out of that is national defense, an increase in that, and something for agriculture, I'm sure. You're from farm country, and I think you and Jim Nussel and others who are from the Farm Belt would say we've got to have more for agriculture before this is all over.
Well, thank you both very much.
Good to be with you, Bob. John, good to talk to you.
Roy, good to talk to you. Thank you, Bob.
Republican Roy Blunt, representing the 7th Congressional District in the southwest corner of Missouri, is serving his third term. Democrat John Spratt, Jr., representing the 5th District in north central South Carolina, serving his 10th term.